Alright. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Do you hear me? Mic test. Okay, thank you so much. Again, happy Sabbath, everyone. Today is March 18, 2023. And before we start, I invite you to kneel if you can. We're gonna pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for another blessed Sabbath day that we can all join together in worshiping your holy name. We invite your holy presence to your Holy Spirit. Please fill our hearts with joy and peace. Open our minds to understand your will. We uplift to you all the spoken and unspoken prayers of your children. Please, Lord, give us an excellent connection of the internet so there will be no obstruction in hearing your words and fellowshipping with one another this Sabbath day. And please, bridle my tongue and all who will speak in your behalf today. Please, Lord, forgive us and cleanse us from all the sins we have committed against you. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm doing some echoes. Let me check again. Is my sound clear at your end? Like I'm hearing some echo. Alright. Oh yeah, I have some feedback. Let me adjust. Alright. Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. So the link for our study is actually posted in the chat room, so you can follow along with me. The and those who are in the radio, the W2PR, please type into your browser the URL sdrmovement.org/note/031823.html. So our study is entitled The True Advent Spirit. This study is actually connected with our previous lesson about Homeward Bound. So now, what is true Advent Spirit? The word Advent means the coming of Christ, our Savior. And the word Spirit in this case means an eager desire, a disposition of mind excited and directed to a particular object. So the true Advent Spirit signifies cheerfulness, excitement, and motivation, an animation of your whole being while waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus. It is a positive feeling and energy for devotion and deep consecration because your hope and expectation of eternal salvation will soon be realized. In Zephaniah chapter 1, 14 to 17, it says, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers, and I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as a dust, and their flesh as the dung. And in verse 12 he says, it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lease, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. And in chapter 2, 1 to 3, the same book, Zephaniah, gather yourselves together. Yeah, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree being forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have brought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. We are in the great day of the Lord's preparation. The Lord's coming is very close, and this is a joyful news for those who have the true Advent spirit. This should make us excited and should energize us to communicate this glorious news to every people we meet and to be repeated in our homes. The closeness of the end of the world is so near, and the probation is fast closing. Let us all seek the Lord, seek his righteousness, his meekness while he may be found. The Lord has given us warning of the events about to take place. Yes, terrible sins are before us, my dear brothers and sisters, and we must do all the best we can to spread the gospel of salvation as quickly as we can in every place possible while we have the freedom to do this. Because later on, this freedom that we enjoy now will be suppressed, and we shall not be able to do it anymore. Time will come. Even the use of internet that we are doing now will be taken from us. But we must proclaim the last message of mercy. The third angel's message with the help and power of the Holy Spirit. For we cannot do it by ourselves. The word of God is shining upon us. In Isaiah 60 verse 2, it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Today's world is like the time of Noah before the flood. In Matthew 24:37 it says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So the people nowadays are occupied and absorbed with the things and pleasures of this world. They are indifferent and unconcerned about their salvation, but concerned only material things. And there is a lot of fear in their heart. Look at the big financial institutions now collapsing. And it's going global now, according to the news. The no buy, no sell prophecy is just around the corner, my dear brothers and sisters. Popular churches, both members and their pastors, ministers, priests, they need the prophesied signs that we are in the final days. They profess to be waiting for Christ. They profess to be Christians, yet they are conformed to the world and living in sins, breaking the commandments of God, especially the seven-day Sabbath. They are not prepared. They are not ready for the second coming of Christ. They do not have the true Advent spirit as the remnant of her seed does. Genesis 6 Verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yet the people do not feel any remorse. They do not sense any deep regret or guilt for a wrong committed. They feel secure and at peace because they are asleep spiritually. Like the men in the time of Noah and in the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot, the time of destruction will come and no one shall escape the wrath of God." 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "For when they shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The wrath of God without mercy will soon be falling to the wicked, and to escape is impossible. The rocks, hills, and mountains will not cover and hide them. And before the judgment seat of Christ, they must stand. And into everlasting punishment, they must go. But our loving Savior, He has given us a special warning. In Luke 21:34-36, He said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." If we will follow a similar course of the world, we will share the same destiny. We cannot escape, and because we have received greater light now, our punishment, my dear brothers and sisters, will be greater than that of the unrepentant if we will fail. As God's obedient remnant in this last generation, we hold the accumulated truth of God throughout ages. And we claim to hold the truth that will bring crisis to the world. So our life and character should be in harmony with our faith. Remember, there will only two groups that will exist in the end. Soon, the righteous and the wicked will be grouped separately. The righteous for the heavenly places, while the wicked will be gathered as a tares for the hellfire. But the wheat and tares grow together until the harvest, as Matthew 13, verse 30 said. As we carry out our duties, we are brought in contact with the ungodly. And as a children of light, we are scattered among the children of darkness, so that the distinction may be seen by all. And as the obedient children of God, we are told in 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In letter 14, 1885, March 13, 1885, says, "This is the duty of every church, however small or however large. Christians must be light givers, holding forth the words of life. They are exhorted by the apostle to be the highest achievements of piety. The world will not be convinced by what the pulpit teaches, but by what the church lives. the path to heaven is dark or bright, just as in proportion as the church gives forth a clear and strong or doubtful, fitful light. The preacher in the desk announces the theory of the gospel, but the practical piety of the church demonstrates the power of truth, showing its real value. Yes, the sermons, the studies we hear every Sabbath only tells us the theory of the gospel, the theory of truth. But the world is reading our lives. They are looking if they see in our lives the truth we preach. The way we talk, the way we act, what we eat, how we dress, these have all a telling influence to the people around us. The question is, do we walk our talk? God entrusted us the sacred, solemn, testing truths for this time, and that light, reflecting and manifesting in our Christ-like life, will be as a glimpse of heaven to those who knew us, that we had been with Jesus like the apostles, as we read in Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they have been with Jesus. So, if we will abide in Christ, the world may see and appreciate the beauty of heaven through us. The people around us should behold and see in us the true Adventist spirit, who are preparing to stand in the time of trouble which is before us. So let us not be found sleeping in our post. Let us not act like the Laodiceans, who say by their actions in Revelation 3:17, he said, we have the truth. No? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. While the true witness, he declares, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So as we all draw nearer to Jesus and take closer to him, we will also draw nearer together and will all come into unity of faith. Our hearts will blend into one and will lead us to fulfill the prayer of Jesus that we will all be one as he and the Father are one. John 17:11, Jesus prayed, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. He's talking about us, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And notice that before the disciples received the early rain on Pentecost, they were all with one accord. In Acts 2:1-4 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let us pray, my dear brothers and sisters. Let us strive to reach for this true unity, so that we will receive the promised perfecting latter rain in abundance, that we will all be filled with the Holy Spirit, even today, because we know that there is a false unity, an ecumenical movement with the Pope of Rome as their head. And look at this false revival. a so-called outpouring of the Spirit in different places now being pushed by the secular media. Look at the Asbury Revival, the Jesus Revolution, and the Chosen movies. These are not coincidences. Satan knows that there will be a great movement, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, that will result in a loud cry, as prophesied in Revelation 18:1-5. And after this things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and it is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. It's not my sin, but her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Satan wanted to prevent the latter rain under the loud cry movement by introducing a counterfeit so that people will be deceived. And this false revival and unity will later on give power and strength to the beast of Rome. Sunday, which is the mark of authority of the Vatican, the sign of its power, will soon be enforced. Persecution is unavoidable. We must be ready. We must be prepared for this coming event. We must preach the truth without worrying about the consequence to our life. Romans 14:8 says, For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We live by faith and not by sight, living for His glory as well as dying to be with Him and be raised again at the resurrection morn will be an honor and worth more than the riches of the world. And as we contemplate on His coming, we also sense our duty to preach this marvelous truth, this wonderful theme to those around us. And what will be the effect of this subject? I have listed 5 items here as an example, but there should be more. Number one, one effect of preaching the second advent is that our attraction to the world will appear profitless as vanity. We can read in Manuscript 39:18-93, The second coming of the Son of Man is to be the wonderful thing before the people. Here is a subject that should not be left out of our discourses. Eternal realities must be kept before the mind's eye, and the attractions of the world will appear as they are, altogether profitless as vanity. What are we to do with the world's vanities, its praises, its riches, its honors, or its enjoyments? We are pilgrims and strangers who are waiting, hoping, and praying for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we believe it and bring it into our practical life, what vigorous action would this faith and hope inspire? What fervent love one for another? What careful, holy living for the glory of God and in our respect for the recompense of the reward, according to Hebrews 11:26? What distinct lines of demarcation would be evidence between us and the world? So the recompense of the reward is the blessedness of heaven, for we are not looking for earthly reward. The prospect of pleasure, wealth, honor in this world is profitless and vanity. It is a privilege to have respect to the rewards of heaven in serving God. It is a wonderful thing that we should desire the rewards and joys of heaven, and these should lead and motivate us to do our duty to God and to sustain us in our trials. Another effect of this preaching would lead us to regard earthly things as emptiness and nothingness. In 6406 says, the blessed hope of the second appearing of Christ with its solemn realities needs to be often presented to the people. Looking for the soon appearing of our Lord will lead us to regard earthly things as emptiness and nothingness. Number three effect, we will not be idle, but diligent. But in 40309 it says, belief in the near coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven will not cause the true Christian to become neglectful and careless of the ordinary business of life. The waiting ones who look for the soon appearing of Christ will not be idle but diligent in business. Their work will not be done carelessly and dishonestly, but with fidelity, promptness, and thoroughness. And those who flatter themselves that careless inattention to the things of this life is evidence of their spirituality and of their separation from the world are under a great deception. Their veracity, faithfulness, and integrity are tested and proved in temporal things. If they are faithful in that which is least, they will be faithful in much. In another one, number four, we will keep ourselves separate and unspotted from the world. That is in 1 Timothy 1:33. And number five, effect, the effect of preaching the second coming lead us to confess our sin every night before going to bed. In 1948, it says, let us be shod with the gospel shoes, ready to march at a moment's notice. Every hour, every minute is precious. We have no time to spend in self-gratification. All around us, there are souls perishing in sin. Every day, there is something to do for our Lord and Master. Every day, we are to point souls to the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as we think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. Go to your rest at night, with every sin confessed. Thus we did when in 1844 we expected to meet our Lord. And now this great event is nearer than when we first believed. And there was this example of husband and wife in 1843, before going to bed, they confess and ask forgiveness with each other. In manuscript chapter manuscript 9, 1891, it says, I remember in 1843, a man and his wife, who expected the Lord to come in 1844, and they were waiting and watching, and every day, they would pray to God before they would bid each other with each other good night. They would say, it may be the Lord will come when we are asleep and we want to be ready. The husband would ask his wife if he had said a word during the day that she had thought was not in accordance with the truth and the faith which they professed. And then she would ask him the same question. Then they would bow before the Lord and ask Him if they had sinned in thought or word or action, and if so, that He would forgive that transgression. Now we want just such simplicity as this. Dear brothers and sisters, do you really believe that the end of all things is at hand? That we are now at the very edge of the end? If so, let us show our faith by our words. We must show all the faith we have. James 2:17 says, even so, if it had not works, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Let us have that genuine faith, which works by love and purifies the soul. If we want to be accounted worthy of eternal life, we must obtain a moral perfection now. 1 John 3:2-3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purified himself, even as He is pure. This is our work. We must experience a death to self and must live unto God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We must not depend on feeling, for feeling is different from faith. Pride, self-love, selfishness, covetousness, love of the world, hatred, suspicion, jealousy, evil surmisings, all these are unrighteousness and must all be overcome and must be crucified. Remember, when Jesus comes, He will not change our character, for it is already fixed when He finished His ministry in heaven. So, we must be filled with a true Advent spirit now, not tomorrow, but today. What shall we do to be saved shall be our thought, our study, our inquiry every day. Do we behave perfectly in the sight of God and men? Psalms 101 verse 2 says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Our work is to prepare a people for the soon coming of the Lord. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Let us consider the work before us. We are laborers together with God. John 15:19 says, if we were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. We are to prepare the way of the Lord. Let us bind ourselves to His sacred word. We have no time to lose in inactivity. Long delay tires the angels. Delay is defeat. Isaiah 62:10 says, go through. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up the standard for the people. Mark 13:32 says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So let us rouse the people to prepare, for prophecy is fast fulfilling. Jesus is coming soon with power and great glory. We have no time to lose. The warning sound must be given now. The Lord is calling each one of us to be number one in His realm. We must not be indifferent We must not be careless now. We have souls to save or to lose. One soul saved is worth more than to Christ than the whole world. We have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. And lastly, before I end, please let me share this one more quote from letter 25, 1902. It says, "We are looking for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not only to believe that the end of all things is at hand. We are to be filled with the Advent Spirit, that when the Lord comes, He may find us ready to meet Him, whether we are working in the field, or building a house, or preaching the word. Ready to say, 'Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us.'" Isaiah 25, verse 9. I hope and pray that you are all blessed with the joy that we share this Sabbath day.